The Border Patrol agent who was wounded in the attack that claimed the life of Agent Nicholas Ivey near Naco yesterday has been released from a Tucson hospital. Cochise County Sheriff's Office looking into the shooting, but it's been tough, especially after the traffic accident death of Sheriff Larry Deaver last week.
It does bring back memories of what we have been going through, so we truly can, you know, feel for the Border Patrol agents that are left here.
A large marijuana growing operation found near Wendat.
It had a complex irrigation system basically nurturing the plants.
Pima County Sheriff's deputies looking for a man missing from a nursing home since last Wednesday.
Mr. Mendez was last seen wearing blue jeans and a white T-shirt. He's approximately 5'8" and weighs roughly 150 pounds.
Phoenix area housing market flat over the summer, but could improve.
We still have fairly low supply in most areas and pretty strong demand.
George Tedder, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of Village Inn, 4 o'clock hour gang. Look for a wreck off to the side, westbound loop 202, this one at Gilbert in the clearing stages. Another accident, westbound I-10 at Jack Rabbit Tail. We also have a collision, McDowell Road, west of 27th Avenue. Attention pie lovers, it's Pie Rush Wednesday at Village Inn. Come in today from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and get a free slice of double crust fruit pie with dine-in purchase and enjoy the October pie sale at $7.99 at all participating Village Inns.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Hopefully these triple digits are over for a while. We're upper 90s now tomorrow into the weekend, maybe even mid-90s by Saturday and Sunday. And then the first of next week by Tuesday, actually a dramatic cooling trend. We are below 90 degrees. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jim. Currently we're at 96 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No? Well, it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, dum, bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Do you want to reduce your utility bills and shrink your carbon footprint? You can with home weatherization projects that are easy and don't cost a bundle. Caulking around windows and weather stripping doors can lower your energy usage and put money in your pocket. To save even more, take advantage of the sun's warmth by keeping window coverings closed in the summer and open during colder months. For additional home weatherization information, visit southwestgasliving.com. This green tip is brought to you by Southwest Gas.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Thank you for that introduction, Chet. This is, in fact, Jack Willinchek. Dennis Willinchek couldn't make it today. But we're very honored to have on the show David Ortega, who's running for the County Board of Supervisors. You may recall that we had his opponent, Steve Chukri, on the show about a month or so ago. And welcome to the show, David.
Jack, it's really great to be here. And maybe I should do a mic check, but thank you so much.
There you go.
You know, this is my favorite station. It's my favorite sports station, that is.
I take it you're a fan of the Wildcats.
Yeah, that's my dad's school.
He
graduated Tucson High when he was 16.
You know, we were just talking about your family history. You know, I shared with you that I just had a case involving a very old family in Arizona, and they, you know, I don't know if I want to get into the details of the case, but you know, I may as well. It was a public case, jury trial. You know, I defended a family that had been on a piece of land in Tempe since 1892. You know, Tempe used to be called San Pablo. It was originally a Mexican town. And, David, you're telling me your family goes back to the 18th century. I mean, that's wild. Tell me about that.
Well, the first settlements were in Tubac, and the first or earliest baptisms were recorded in 1751 with my family and went on to settled in the Presidio, which was Tucson in the 1770s,
wow.
And pretty much followed the water. Water was always vital, and we've seen, you know, Spanish government, Mexican government, territorial administrators, Arizona Territory,
right.
And of course, statehood. So, and all of these issues really play into, you know, land and water issues. And really, Arizona's always been a crossroads. It was
right.
For my family from 240-plus years ago, and it continues to be. And I think, you know, as long as we maintain an attraction, why we can continue to be that crossroads in this part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, why don't I talk a little bit more about your background? As I said, yeah, your family traces back to the 18th century, the Ortegas. You've been in the Scottsdale City Council, correct?
Yes, I've been in Scottsdale for about 33 years, and I am an architect in downtown Scottsdale. I've had a practice there. I was practicing for over 22 years when then I ran for office, and actually laced in, you know, architectural planning issues and transportation issues into my campaign, and I became the first elected architect actually to sit on city council in Scottsdale.
Hmm. So what sparked your interest in politics?
Well, you know, initially when you're so involved with you know, Little League, church, business, and so forth, you were always encountering the government aspect. Those decisions that need to be made. So before I ran for office, I was involved with entitlements. For instance, there was a need for a domestic violence shelter in Scottsdale. They needed an architect, but I also did the work that blended it with the neighborhood that made sense. And we even had protesters come to these meetings who eventually became volunteers at that shelter. So that's really – and that process had to be approved through the city council. It had to make sense, and then it had to blend in. So some of those lessons were very, very good and important. Later on, as a businessman downtown, I saw some problems where the city really capitulated to subsidies and really treating certain parts of downtown unfairly, and that's when I made a move to improve things.
Yeah. You know, we had the mayor of Scottsdale, Jim Lane, on the show a few months back, and that's one thing that stuck with me from that interview was that he was firmly opposed to subsidies of any kind. And, you know, I remember we had the discussion with him, well, in Scottsdale, I mean, you know, it's a nice city, you know, you don't have to pay. But even as a matter of principle, it's just subsidies are just a bad idea, aren't they?
Well, yes, and I mean, I became a leader in questioning and many things didn't make sense. For instance, you may recall there was a hole in Scottsdale Road. There was a ramp that went down and choked traffic. It was where the Galleria is.
The Galleria is, okay.
And you know, you may have this occurred in 1992 when 1991 when the Galleria opened. So they actually took Scottsdale Road and turned it into a Y. And that choked off part of the downtown businesses. It was negative, but it was done for the sake of the Galleria development, which unfortunately closed 18 months
after
it opened.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And everybody was stuck with that headache, and it was not acceptable. So, you know, I actually went to my businesses downtown, showed them a plan to straighten Scottsdale Road, to take out the ramp that didn't make sense, and then an empty building that was, again, choking the entire waterfront area.
Right.
The city decided to study my idea, which is the way it's built today. They spent $60,000 to study straightening Scottsdale Road, and at that point I said, you know what, I'm going to run for office.
Yeah.
We can get this done. We know it needs to get done. We can restore it the way it should have been.
So it started with a poorly constructed road, and from there it's just blossomed into a,
right.
a political career. Yeah.
And you know, from there, I'm a problem solver. I feel that we have to be constructive when we say something needs repair, or if the government made a mistake, the government should fix it. And frankly, for a while there, they were just saying, well, we'll wait for the next developer to come up with their idea. And, you know, in the meantime, everyone was suffering. Mm-hmm. And this was in a public, you know, street right of way where all of this was going wrong.
Major, yeah, intersection.
Yeah. So, you know, that became part of, you know, a signature thing. It's interesting that we actually cut the ribbon. The first thing the council voted on when I was elected was to straighten Scottsdale Road.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually delayed the fix because of the Christmas season. And it was completed, and we cut a ribbon. I was there with the mayor and the whole council unanimously doing it. We cut that ribbon on September 10th, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a day that was kind of like a new opening for Scottsdale downtown. And, of course, September 11th, the next day, everybody remembers what happened that day.
Oh, so it's 2001.
Yeah, it was 2001.
Yeah.
2001.
Yeah.
So these things, you know, build on each other. They improve the city. And, yeah, that was September 10th, 2001.
Yeah. Oh. All right, so you've had experience on the Scottsdale City Council. I think you said you were the vice mayor as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I had your opponent on, the conversation mostly turned into a conversation about, well, what does somebody on the Board of Supervisors do exactly?
Right.
And, you know, from what besides getting to, you know, melodramatic, you know, battles with the sheriff or, suing the county, you know, what does somebody in the county Board of Supervisors do? What are their biggest responsibilities in your mind?
Well, I think the first job is to know your district. And, you know, when we have to explain that Maricopa County is a pie, it's got five slices. There are five districts. And of those five districts, there are five supervisors, and they form the board. So I believe my first job is to know my district very well. And as an architect, I've built in every city. I've built in the county. I know Mesa's construction rules. I've built in Gilbert and, of course, Scottsdale. So knowing that, being comfortable with that knowledge, and then – so you're specializing in that. I mean, you've got General Dynamics, Boeing. We've got Phoenix Gateway Airport. So knowing that these are seven cities – their corporations and all that. It's a very exciting area that I know very well. I know it from the experience as being a city councilman representing Scottsdale with joint meetings with these other cities. And I think that's principally the first step. And we're making decisions countywide. That means that whatever we'll do, we'll improve the linkages, improve service. But we really do need to know where the missing links are and where the governance probably has gone wrong or the areas between cities that need infrastructure.
All right. We're talking to David Ortega, who's running for the Board of Supervisors. And we'll come back from the break. We'll talk some more about his background and what he plans to do if he gets the job. This is Jack Wilczek on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Are you underwater on your home?
Honey, grab the snorkel and find out. Let's go short sale.
Short sales are the solution. Find out more on the Elk Realty Show, Wednesdays at noon.
Is your website at the top of Google? Go to SEOPhoenix.com for a free search engine optimization report. SEO Phoenix is the only company in Arizona to offer a search engine ranking guarantee. That's right, guaranteed. We are Arizona's SEO rock stars. Grow your business and get to the top. Go to SEOPhoenix.com for your free SEO report. That's SEOPhoenix.com, SEOPhoenix.com.
Do you want safe, healthy, great-tasting water? The free video series at WaterTreatmentTips.com was developed by a certified water specialist with over 25 years of experience. It answers the most frequently asked questions, the questions you should be asking every water treatment company. Learn the definitions, get thorough explanations, and the pros and cons of available systems. Become an informed, empowered consumer at watertreatmenttips.com, where education is our goal. Get your free educational video series today at watertreatmenttips.com.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8020. PremierBarter.com.
Come to the Arizona Survivalist and Prepper Expo this weekend, October 6th and 7th, starting at 9 a.m. Free seminars each day at 10 a.m. Visit our website, ArizonaSurvivalistShow.com. That's ArizonaSurvivalistShow.com. Also, catch KFNX live broadcast Sunday from noon to 3 p.m. featuring Talking Guns with Kate and the Prepper Patch Show. Only at the Arizona Survivalist and Prepper Expo this weekend, October 6th and 7th. ArizonaSurvivalistShow.com for more information.
Catch the live coverage of the first presidential debate tonight starting at 6. President Barack Obama and Republican candidate for President Mitt Romney square off live right here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wolinchek. And we're talking to David Ortega, who's running for the County Board of Supervisors. And just to give our listeners a little bit of background, this would be the seat that Don Stapley is vacating, right?
Correct.
And your opponent is Steve Chukri. I mentioned him earlier because he's been on the show before. What are you? What makes you a better candidate than Steve?
Well, I think as we look at where we came from in terms of as a professional architect, someone who has experience at the city level, someone who's interacted with the FAA, for instance, for our airport, because Scottsdale has an airport, and dealing with the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport and those sort of parameters, making sure that that neighborhoods are compatible or planning is compatible with airports so we don't get all the complaints because certain subdivisions, perhaps built in the county or even in the cities, were perhaps irresponsible or could have been built better and planned better. Flood control issues. I've been involved with, I've dealt with the Maricopa County Flood Control District because guess what? The water doesn't care what city it's flowing through and whether there's a town site boundary. These become larger issues that, again, I have experience with. When you couple that with really our dedication, understanding the citizen input that's required, I have been on the front lines in the city of Scottsdale. And in many ways, I think what Mr. Chukri probably has not been exposed to is having, you know, good constituent input, collecting different solutions, and then coming up with those solutions. He's more of a special interest fellow in another area, and it's a entirely different realm where you really have to have the patience. And that kind of patience, I think, comes with being an architect, trying to be fair-minded. People trust me with their money. I help spend millions of dollars of their money, and have done so for over 28 years. So it's a great responsibility that's very compatible with this position.
You know, I will say one thing I do like about both of you is that you're both very low-key, and, you know, there's been a lot of drama in the County Board of Supervisors that doesn't really befit, you know, my opinion. It's not very fitting for what their duties are. I will say you're both very low-key and very, devoted candidates. I think either one of you would do a great job. You mentioned, we talked real quickly, you know, during the break, I think you have some kind of proposal regarding solar energy. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Well, Arizona and really Maricopa County is an oasis. It's an oasis in the desert. We're dependent on water. We're dependent on so many systems that were put in by visionary people ahead of us. And one of the questions that keeps coming up is, why are we fighting the sun so much, and why can't we better utilize resources and save money? Now, the county has instituted, actually with some shared revenue, some photovoltaic installations, some green building, which is really kind of avoiding west-facing windows, things like that. As an architect, I just... It scares me. I do not put windows on the west side because you are just asking for a tremendous heat load, and you're taxing your client with higher utility bills and so forth. So I've been very involved with the green building program. It's a voluntary thing. It's an area where good insulation and other measures of planning help to conserve resources. Lower our heat sink in this desert, and then really long term, they're more they use the word sustainable. You know, I think it's a very practical thing to do. My forefathers built with adobe for a reason, you know, because it really insulated very well.
Right.
And so there's many applications there that I think are very good lessons to take to the county level.
I got to ask you, just driving through Scottsdale, I see that Ortega's store there. Is that part of your family or no relation?
Well, that's the most common question. First of all, I designed every one of those stores.
Did you really?
Yeah. So I am the architect. I worked with Gilbert Ortega. Gilbert Ortega. And what a great man, entrepreneur. And he and his children, he passed away in 03.
Okay.
And his children run the operations. I've done over 18 projects with them.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they transformed more from a Indian arts style. And by the way, I can get you great discounts there. It's guaranteed. My name or plaques on them. We're very proud of that. But essentially what happens is you become, you know, we become financially vested. We become spiritually vested. We become socially vested. And I'm very proud to say these are landmark corners in Scottsdale and many other buildings for other clients that don't have, you know, for many, many other clients, which become a place. They mark a place that's exciting, that, you know, you want to remember. And that's a good thing for the whole state.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we talked about a little bit about some of your priorities. You know, I think you were kind of cut off before we went to the last break. So why don't you go ahead and talk about what else you'd plan to do if you get into office?
Well, you know, there is a strategic plan at the county level, but every city is supposed to have what's called a general plan. That's updated every 10 years. It's a large exercise, and I don't know if Mayor Lane told you that the voters rejected the general plan that was prepared. Now, we still have another year to reconstitute it and look at it, but they really felt that there were still too many loose ends. Now, that will deal with economic vitality, parks, social programs, flood control, transportation, and every city. Mesa has one. Scottsdale has one. The smaller towns have a smaller scale one, and of course Gilbert. So the county's obligation, really, and I'm a planner, I love planning, is to, you know, make sure that these interlace well. And, you know, the Pima Maricopas are a strategic, you know, a land partner and a business partner in our valley. They brought the Diamondbacks, they brought the Rockies, and we've had upticks in Scottsdale, and we're all happy. Wow. Well, guess what? We brought them from Tucson. Our gain in Scottsdale was Tucson's loss.
And, of course, what the Cubs are doing with Mayor Smith and those other, you know, so we have so much potential. We haven't been working together, or excuse me, the Board of Supervisors has not been working together. That is a big negative. I mean, that is causing us many problems that we can get into.
That's the first thing I think about when I think of the Board of Supervisors, just the drama and the conflict. And, yeah, it's obviously it's not good for anybody.
Well, so many people are, you know, shaking their heads when you just say the word Board of Supervisors, and it's sad because one of the rules my grandfather taught me, and he was born in '02 on a ranch on the Gila River, and fortunately, when I was in college, my grandparents would feed me on weekends, and I would hear wonderful stories. But you know, we are a small oasis. And we have to work together. The more friction you have, it's almost like the elbowing, the sharp elbowing that's been going on everywhere is counterproductive. It's not really what Arizona's about. And frankly, it's been driving some of our prospects, business prospects and others away. And that is a disservice to the citizens and the cities that, you know, are all involved.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a... One of the areas of experience that I have that my opponent, for instance, doesn't have is, you know, I have sat as judge and jury on lawsuits.
Right. And the Board of Supervisors, and we got about a minute here before we go to break, but I know the Board of Supervisors does a little bit of that.
Oh.
They have a certain, you know, judicial capacity. I mean, that's again, you know, that's the problem with it is nobody really understands what they do. But
right, and you know, with your legal expertise, and I'd be glad to, you know, step into several of these things that required weighing what? We're weighing, scarce resources and liabilities and trying to figure out, you know, is this equitable and, you know, whose pockets are being picked on this thing. So, I'd be glad to share that when we're done from the break.
When we come back from the break, we're talking to David Ortega, who's running for the Board of Supervisors. This is Jack Wilczek on KFNX 1100 Independent Talk.
NBC News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. It is one of the biggest nights of the election season so far. The first debate between President Obama and his GOP challenger Mitt Romney. NBC's Steve Handelsman looks at the strengths and weaknesses of both candidates.
With a lot on the line in past debates, Romney's done well.
Going up against Mitt Romney is not a fun thing. He has the facts. He drills you. He stays. He's tenacious.
And sometimes aggressive.
The idea that I'm anti-immigrant is repulsive. Don't use a term like that.
Aides admit Barack Obama in debates can sound like a professorial know-it-all. Tonight's format is from 2008. Two podiums, moderator Jim Lehrer, 90 minutes, no breaks.
That debate gets underway tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Tensions are high along the border between Syria and Turkey. Officials say shelling from Syria killed 5 residents of a Turkish town today. Turkey fired back on targets within Syria. This is NBC News Radio.
Here is on a news radio, a large marijuana growing operation found near Wendy.
These plants range from about 2 feet to 5 feet in height, and if they were cultivated at the time that we seized it, it would probably produce around 400 pounds of marijuana.
Pima County Sheriff's deputies looking for an Hispanic male who robbed a Circle K at gunpoint.
It's clearly visible in the video. You see there's actually another customer who is standing at the counter at that very time, and he's clearly pointing the handgun at the clerk.
The Border Patrol agent wounded in the attack that killed fellow agent Nicholas Ivey yesterday, released from a Tucson hospital. Cochise County Sheriff's Office investigating an officer involved shooting. Bisbee police officer had to fire at a suspect on a motorcycle who threatened him.
The motorcyclist accelerated to speeds of 80 to 100 miles an hour.
A puppy tossed from a truck has a new home in Phoenix.
I had thought Mio was quite bonded to me, but it didn't take too long for Mio to crawl right into Ashley's lap.
This check of your KFNX traffic is a service of Village Inn. Look for a wreck southbound loop 101 at the 60. That's going to create some huge problems, gang. Look for another wreck westbound I-10 at Jackrabbit Trail. And we still have that water main break Pima Road north of Legacy Boulevard. Attention pie lovers, it's Pie Rush Wednesday at Village Inn. Come in today from 10 to 10 and get a free slice of Double Crust Pie with dine-in purchase. Enjoy the October Pie Sale and get it only at $7.99 Village Inn.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Hopefully these triple digits are over for a while. We're upper 90s now tomorrow into the weekend, maybe even mid-90s by Saturday and Sunday. And then the first of next week by Tuesday, actually a dramatic cooling trend. We are below 90 degrees. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently we're at 100 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Plenty of medals were given to some overachieving and well-deserved athletes recently in London. When it comes to fair, honest, and reliable service, there is a deserving gold medalist right here in your own backyard, Virginia Auto Service. If you live or work downtown, get gold medal service for your car right on the corner of 7th Street in Virginia. A Bosch service center, A-plus rated with the BBB, boot to bonnet. Oh, you know what I mean, bumper to bumper. Virginia Auto Service knows how to take care of their customers. See them online at virginiaautoservice.com.
Hi folks, Greg Schulte here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale. As you all know by now, my favorite baseball saying is, you can touch them all, especially when it's our favorite hometown team. Well, at your favorite hometown team, Legends Cadillac, you can also touch them all. Get behind the wheel of that sporty CTS coupe. Experience the luxury and performance of a truly great car. Check out the outstanding lease program available right now and see for yourself how affordable that Cadillac really is. Not to be outdone is the world's most popular luxury crossover, the SRX. Four different option packages specifically designed for every driver's wants and needs. And rounding third, the Cadillac Escalade. Legends has the best selection in the Western region with factory incentives and great leasing options on every model. Everyone loves the first place team, and Legends of North Scottsdale is doing it right. Legends, it's like no place else.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Laura Ingram mornings, Neil Bortz, Mike Huckabee middays, Lars Larson afternoons on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek, and we're talking with David Ortega, who's running for the County Board of Supervisors. And, you know, we're just discussing just how big this district that you'd be representing is. You point out it would be bigger than a congressional district, right? So we're 800,000 people.
Right. And, you know, just to illustrate it, basically, if you when we hike Camelback Mountain and we look to the east, you'll see to the right Arcadia. So all the way to Thomas and Arcadia, 44th Street, that's in the district. You look over to the right, there's the north part of Gilbert. Of course, Mesa, Scottsdale. Go over towards north, you'll see the Fountain Hills. And then the far left, well, the far right. North side, excuse me, is Cave Creek and Carefree. And right. it's a great district. Plus, you know, we have the native Pima Maricopas. And they are a tremendous asset. I mean, they're 450 square miles right in the heart of District 2.
Hmm. Excuse my ignorance. I guess I haven't really thought about that. But the reservation isn't part of the county, or is it?
Oh, absolutely it is. Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
I hadn't even thought about that. Well, that's the thing about, you know, the county and even, again, I'll say it for the millionth time, what the Board of Supervisors does is you don't realize, I guess, how much real, you know, authority and power is in that position. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a lot of people there and a lot of, you know, ways you can affect their lives. So why don't we talk about those? You know, you mentioned to me over the break there's about four or five different core things that somebody in the Board of Supervisors does. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, sure. Primarily, we're looking at public safety. Public safety is essential, and of course, that's through the sheriff's department in the non municipality areas or the county areas. The county runs a large open space program with with preserves. By open space, I mean, you know, desert lands and so forth. And a lot of it, many parks, we contribute to the local economy because why? We buy pavement. We protect many floodway areas. And they're a major spender in this area. And, of course, finally, on the justice side, all the superior court system, that's a huge responsibility, and as well as the health and welfare. Health includes the inoculations for kids, the vaccinations. I think the budget's about $600,000. And when we think about that, you know, what is needed for good health and keeping our kids healthy and in school and their families healthy, and on one hand, there are these lawsuits that cost $10 million, yeah, $6 million. That's 10 years of inoculations. Right. I mean, I wish we could inoculate ourselves from these lawsuits.
Right. That's a good point. Well, yeah, I mean, how do you come out on that? Obviously, I've always thought, I'll just say it. I mean, I think the idea of somebody on the board of supervisors suing the county, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But, I mean, in general, I mean, the county gets sued a lot. And I've always kind of had the sense that the county can be kind of quick to settle some of these things. So where do you come out on that?
Well, there's two levels of lawsuits. One is what I'd call internal lawsuits. Those are the ones everyone's shaking their heads at, saying, yeah, why are they suing each other? Exactly. And why are they, you know, using outside counsel, and why is everyone, you know, conflicted and so forth. And the other one, of course, has to do with lawsuits just in the general course of, you know, providing services, mishaps, and so forth. And, you know, as I look at my past experience, I was on the school facilities board, an Arizona a commission that spent about $400 million on schools, authorizing schools and working with school districts. Well, I did that for almost 4 years, and along the way, we got sued by a school district. So here was a school district suing a state entity over a dispute. But, you know, and that had to be, I was on the so-called jury, or I had to judge with my fellow commissioners to decide if and how we would settle that. We had legal advice, but, you know, this kind of background and experience I also got as city councilman, and sure, I could tell you how valuable that experience was, because I think some of this experience and integrity really relates to taking care of what has to be taken care of at the county.
Mm-hmm. So I think you named a couple of the things that somebody in the county, that the county board of supervisors does. Why don't we keep going through that list?
Well, in terms of, I meant to lead into a couple of the cases that we had to handle. And it's not surprising if some of these will come to the county as well. For instance, we had a broken leg, mm-hmm, in a park, and we had medical costs and so forth. And came before we had secret session, decided, yes, we will pay for the medical expenses. And it was a broken leg of a dog. So a dog's leg got broken in our city park because it fell into a gopher hole. And for some reason, we were, you know, at fault for not maintaining that park. And darn it, we had to do that. Well, we also had another case where high schoolers decided they were going to go off campus. It was not authorized. They put a sophomore in the trunk, decided to go out for lunch, and were in a fatal accident, and the young fellow. Now, here's a young man who perished, and the question was, could there, should there, might there have been a street light there or something else? You know, we had to weigh that, and these are things that are in fact, I know we went to mock trial on that to understand it fully with the facts of the case. And it ended up being, you know, it's a very serious matter when someone loses their life. And that ended up being a $1 million settlement. Mm-hmm. And you know, so these are things that are, I won't say the more difficult things, but these are things that we really need to experience to be capable of handling, whether there's a dispute with a developer over a bridge or even a critical issue like that with the life and death situation.
So you're saying that your experience on the Scottsdale City Council and probably as vice mayor, too, is prepared you for dealing with, I guess, a lot of liability or having a lot of liability, that which a city does.
Right.
And the county does as well. Well, go ahead and then tell the audience what else you plan to do if you get into office.
Well, you know, the first thing, and I think really the root of the problem at the county and the reason why I am stepping into this big challenge, and I feel very well prepared for it. The main reason is that actually the county operates really more in, you could say, secrecy, less discussion.
I'm glad you're making that point. Because
that's
absolutely the sense I get. I mean, the words gray eminence come to mind. I don't know if you ever heard those words, but it's like a kind of a secret and very powerful body politic that nobody really understands. As you pointed out early in the show, I mean, somebody in the county board of supervisors represents, you know, over 800,000 people, more than, you know, a representative does. But, you know, nobody really knows. I mean, I guess if you're in the know, you know, but, you know, your typical citizen doesn't understand what somebody in the county board of supervisors does and probably doesn't even know who they are. So,
well, I would turn that around. I think we need more constituent input. We need to lift the veil off of these decisions. Actually, this problem, you know, resulted in lawsuits between department people. You know, somebody didn't pay, went over their budget on certain probably public safety issues, and someone else tried to call them out, and someone else decided that they were going to take some other action on it. I think really what's happening is I come from a place of placing daylight. When I meet with a client as an architect, everything's on the table. We don't hide things. We don't say, well, I forgot to surprise you. Zoning doesn't allow this, and, you know, you got a big problem here. We're not going to do that. And, you know, my approach is very, very positive thing. I think that that's a skill. Now, when you discover all of these problems emanating from behind closed doors, and essentially special interests are the ones that are going to get in the back door, the side door. And, you know, part of the situation in running for this office is that my opponent is a registered lobbyist. He is a special interest guy. He works for the restaurant and bar. And, you know, it's very telling. If you looked at all his contributions, they're from all the liquor distributors and so forth. And you know, that's great if that's where you're centered and that's your focus. But it's not a complete perspective of all the needs that this position requires. Mm-hmm. I know that we can, you know, agree to disagree. The problem is that the interests have to be visible and the solutions have to be weighed. And we have to look at level of service to decide that this is going to be a fair cost, and you're not overtaxed, because guess what? Somebody wanted a special deal or a special road put in, and Mr. Chukri has represented those interests, and I think that's really where we've got to steer away from that.
Okay. All right, we got to take a break here. But we're talking to David Ortega, who's running for the County Board of Supervisors. This is Jack Wilincheck on Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. This month, the HCL Detox Kit is on special. This is your opportunity to stock up on the single most important supplement for all of us who must eat cooked food when all of us mammals were designed for raw food. Just imagine, you may be able to get a second chance at healthier years by supporting the body's natural cellular remethylation and best digestion. Don't be fooled. These benefits only come from natural source products like those found in our HCL Detox Kit. Don't eat cooked food without it. Get three kits for the price of two. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. 34-47. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Have you looked in your jewelry box lately? If you're like most people, chances are you'll have all kinds of jewelry, gems, and diamonds that you no longer wear, or watches that no longer work. If these items would be more valuable to you as cash, come to London Gold, the jewelry store smart shoppers have trusted for over 30 years. With gold at an all-time high, now's the time to let London Gold buy from you. Stop by one of our three valley-wide locations where our precious metal specialists are always on hand to evaluate your items. We will carefully test and examine each piece to determine its weight and current market value. Then we will make you an offer. If you accept, we'll pay you on the spot, and there's never any pressure to sell. Walk away anytime. No charge, no hassle. And if something in our showroom catches your eye, you can take advantage of our 20% bonus offer towards a new purchase. Imagine, in one visit, you can trade in old style for new ones and take home cash to boot.
London Gold, it's the best.
I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilinchek, and we're talking to David Ortega, who's running for the County Board of Supervisors. And this is our final segment of the show. Why don't you go ahead and tell the audience, David, we've been going through some of the things that you know, somebody on the County Board of Supervisors does, some of the things that you want to do. Tell the audience, what do you want to do if you're elected to the County Board of Supervisors?
Jack, you know, my experience as an architect and as a city councilman, Vice Mayor of Scottsdale, I was on the School Facilities Board, which managed large sums of money for schools in our state, is to be responsible with every dollar. That's just the way I was raised. That's the level of trust that's required to be an architect, to really stand up. At one point, you know, I had to stand up because Scottsdale voted for a $180 million subsidy for a Walmart. I mean, these were things that were really taking the funds that the city would have to work with to provide police, fire, streetlights, the whole shot, and giving them to, you know, to a developer because they couldn't make a deal work. And if you can't make a deal work, you know, I can find that out early in a client's in a program.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really where I'm from, where I'm coming from. I know the District 2 very well. I know the processes very well. People can say they want to streamline government or make it smaller or whatever. I've done it. I've actually done it. And, you know, one of the things that we observe also is the Arizona legislature. They'll pass laws. And this last session, there were over 1,600 bills proposed or written. Now, these are people that want to attest small government, less government, and whatever. Get off my back. You know, why? Now, not that many pass,
yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, one of them that did come forward, it was pulled in November, and it was promoted, it was lobbied for by my opponent, Steve Chukri. He carried the bill to kill the minimum wage. He carried it up until March 22nd when they said they were going to put it on as a referral. Well, Arizona passed a minimum wage 6 years ago, and so, you know, this also, in terms of where I'm at and my credentials versus a special interest guy, God bless him, if he believes in that, that's where he wants to take it, but that's his day job. Now, you know, in the county's position, we have to pick up all the pieces. We have to see that these connections work for good health, transportation, make sure that families feel somewhat secure about their paycheck. And, you know, he's on record. He's a licensed, registered, you know, lobbyist, and he represents that. And he's even said that that's his priority. They're going to run that in 2014. So I see conflict there. It's just not where I come from. I think people working hard are already, you know, earning their and they shouldn't have that insecurity that really in terms of what the county's about, we want government to work well. So maybe you don't even have to think about it or worry about another 1,000 bills that are going to be proposed. You're going to hope that you have trustworthy people there that are doing things for the good of everybody and cooperating.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've gone through a lot of things that you would do if you're elected. Why don't you tell the audience what else?
Sure. I think that there are so many opportunities right now. I mean, essentially, when you see the big containers coming out of the Boeing plant and crossing on Mesa Roads headed towards the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport, they use cherry pickers to pull the wires up so they can get, I mean, we are a vital part of our national security of this country and of the world, that Boeing plant is. You've got Intel. We have General Dynamics. Now, you know, we have all of these business people working very hard to sustain their businesses, neighborhoods, and families. And when the political environment starts to decay and crumble and people decide they're not going to return here or maybe invest here because of decisions at the county board of supervisor level or at the state level, well, that's crushing our state. And we have, as I said, the Ortegas have invested over 250 years in this region, and we're not going to let that happen. We're going to fight to make sure that what we do makes sense. And, you know, these decisions sometimes made by government, no business person would make. It just not, you know, and that's why it's so vital to get a, you know, I'm a constructive guy. I'm a constructive leader. And at the same time, I step back because the builders take it from there. But we have to plan, and we can do a better job to build our community. And the more citizens we get involved, that scares people at the county. Some people at the county say, hey, forget about it. We don't want to hear about it because we'll make the best decisions. But what happens is as soon as you involve constituents, I mean your school districts, your community leaders, the native communities, the construction industry, get them involved, they become advocates at the legislature. They're the progenitors of more ideas and entrepreneurship. And that lifts us all together. You know, it's not a one-way decision-making government. And that's, you know, I believe that, and I know it's worked and I've experienced it at city levels, and I know that the county is the right fit for what I'm prepared to do.
You know, we had a guest on the show a couple weeks back, the former Attorney General Grant Woods, and, you know, I wasn't present for that show, but I was listening in my car, and I remember he said, you know, he doesn't know why anybody would run for office today because it's tough. I mean, you know, you get you've got the media on your back. You know, they don't have anything to actually criticize you for. They'll make things up. So I got to ask you. I mean, what inspires you to run for office in this day and age?
You know, I think it's really the appreciation that I have received from. It builds from a client that's very happy with their building, or it's productive for them, or it helps feed their family. Architecture is similar because you can get criticism. Someone doesn't like that building. Someone does like it. Oh, the door swing was wrong, whatever. But there are details that can make your world, our built world, better. So we got the natural world that preserves our beautiful state. We've got the built world that I'm involved with, and I'm not afraid to take criticism. But I'm certainly open to listening to all ideas and trying to put them together in a rational way. The third world is that political world or social world. And I think, again, the expectations of our people is positive. And it's the negative politicians' actions and so forth that this is why, you know, change is needed, new faces are needed. And I'm very dedicated to stepping up and doing everything I can to make Maricopa County the most welcoming, family-friendly, and business-friendly place with a great political atmosphere.
Well, we've got about a couple minutes here before we take the break. You know, I'll ask you on that same note, what do you see as being some of the biggest challenges if you're elected as County Board of Supervisor?
Well, the you know, revenues have been flat and are expected to remain flat. Basically, the the economy has humbled everyone, and that's a good thing. Frankly, I believe that you do need zero-based planning to say, what do you really need? What are your actual levels of service? And we're there. So now planning is cheaper than bricks and mortar. If I can plan a wall, move it, I can move it on paper, all, you know, decide where it works best. That's the strength that we should use, or take this opportunity in this down economy, and it should be done all along. Run government lean, run business lean, make sure that the people are compensated so that they are enthusiastic to build our a great place in an oasis in the desert, which is what we're all about.
Absolutely. All right, we're talking to David Ortega, who's running for the County Board of Supervisors. David, if people want to find more information about you, what's the easiest way to do that?
Thank you. Go to Facebook, Ortega, the number 2, Supervisor. There's a lot of family stuff that you may enjoy.
Yeah.
And or Ortega2Supervisor.com.
Good deal. All right, we're going to head out of the show here. This is Jack Wilinchek on Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
How can the real estate market change your life? What if we could show you how to flip 3 houses in 90 days? We at Tactical Real Estate want to teach you how to take advantage of the hottest real estate market in over 50 years. Come spend the day with our team of experts, and we'll show you how to put $10,000 to $30,000 in your pocket over the next 90 days. Call now to secure your seat in this class with 3 convenient dates in the Phoenix area. This one-day class will teach you how to get in, get out, and get paid. You'll learn how to buy, hold, and sell investment properties with no money down, no credit, and no risk. This seminar is worth thousands of dollars, but free to the first 50 people to call. You risk nothing, but have everything to gain. This intensive one-day real estate class is coming to the Phoenix area on October 5th, 6th, and 7th. Call 800-442-3450 to secure your seat. This seminar is free to the first 50 people to call. Change your life now and learn how to flip 3 homes in 90 days. Call 800-442-3450. You don't want to miss this. Call now. 800-442-3450.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, the home of the Mike Huckabee Show.